Another question in terms of research, but also current practice, relates to the use of CDK inhibitors in patients with localized disease, neoadjuvant therapy, adjuvant therapy, stage 4 NED. So my question is, A, when are we going to start seeing some answers, some clinical trials in these areas? And are there any clinical situations right now where you consider that outside a trial?
So there have been several large adjuvant-type studies conducted. We were very involved in the PALLAS trial, which was an adjuvant palbociclib study. There have been other studies that have also completed accrual of thousands of patients. So I'm hopeful that by the end of 2021, if not sooner, we might begin to see the first wave of those adjuvant data. It takes time for ER-positive disease because of the nature of the disease and the fact that they tend to have later recurrences overall. So I think within a couple of years, though, we will have these adjuvant data. And, you know, based on what we've seen in the metastatic setting, obviously the hope is that they will be effective in the early stage setting as well. I don't think there's any routine use of CDK4/6 inhibitors at this point in early stage disease. The one place I have used it sometimes has been in local regional recurrence where, you know, they do have recurrent breast cancer. And if you're thinking that they need systemic therapy, it might be an effective option. The other place we've been using it in clinical trial is in the neoadjuvant space. And there were some studies at San Antonio on the use of neoadjuvant CDK4/6 inhibitors. The dilemma here is that for ER-positive breast cancers, the endpoints for neoadjuvant treatment are not so well established. You know, pathologic complete responses remain very rare. Tumors typically shrink, but they will often have residual disease. So what the investigators in the so-called Coraline study did is they looked at this sort of pharmacodynamic endpoint of decreased Ki-67 expression and other sort of signals of response. And they showed that you could use a CDK4/6 plus endocrine therapy approach and achieve at least as good or pretty close to as good a response that way as with chemotherapy. And so I think where that is taking us is, and this gets back to where we began our conversation. We began our conversation saying, who with ER-positive breast cancer needs chemotherapy? And I think that as we get more experience using CDK4/6 with hormone treatment in early stage neoadjuvant patients, you begin to see where you're going to be pushing that for higher risk cancers instead of chemotherapy in the years to come. And so, you know, it's great news for breast cancer. There's going to be fewer and fewer women who have ER-positive breast cancer who are going to be candidates for chemotherapy in the early stage of their disease as CDK4/6 inhibitors move forward.
When you were saying looking at risk in the neoadjuvant setting, were you referring to genomic assays?
So that's usually clinical. These are women who present with larger tumors.
I'm just saying in the future.
Yeah. Oh, in the future, for sure. Because, I mean, we're already at the point where we can use the genomic assays to say that chemotherapy doesn't help. But, you know, as we began discussing, Taylor X was node negative. As you know from our remarks, I'm willing to extend that to limited nodal disease. The question still arises, you know, you got somebody who's got an 8-centimeter lobular breast cancer with probably some nodal involvement. You know, can you skip chemotherapy in that patient, which has a low biological risk but a high anatomic stage? I think where we're going to see this move in the next few years is using effective drugs like CDK4/6 inhibitors to hopefully obviate the need for chemo and have patients do better.
You're talking about neoadjuvant studies, and we're talking about Abema monotherapy. I think I remember that there was a neoadjuvant study where they did Abema endocrine therapy, and they were looking at Ki-67, but they saw a pretty big bump with just Abema alone. I think it was comparable to, you know, with the hormone therapy.
Yeah, and these are clearly on-target effects, you know. So the role of CDK4/6 is to help drive the G1 to S transition. So if you effectively target that, your readout should be a lower Ki-67 score. That is, you know, that proves the drug is hitting what it's supposed to hit.
Right. And I mean, the one situation I wondered about, I'm sure it's very uncommon, you know, as you always say in meetings, the Neil Love situation, but is the patient with ER-positive, HER2-negative disease who wants that breast-conserving surgery, the surgeon wants you to shrink it down, maybe you got a recurrence score and it's low, you know, in that situation, if you need a response, would you try to get a CDK inhibitor?
So, you know, at the moment, there aren't really data that that's the case, but I think that's where we're going. And my guess is if you look at some provocative studies that are being done in the metastatic setting comparing endocrine therapy plus CDK4/6 versus chemo, the response rates look very similar and the outcomes look very similar. So in those genomic low-risk, chemo-insensitive cancers, you're probably going to get at least as good a response with the endocrine therapy. One of the problems with neoadjuvant endocrine therapy is it takes a long time to optimally work. And, you know, we're talking at least 6 months and probably out to a year. And that's where the realities of clinical care come in because, you know, plastic surgeons are ready to go and patients are often a little uncomfortable waiting a year. But that's how long it takes to see the optimal result.
Interesting.